Welcome to today's Strategic Housing Podcast, where our goals are to connect people, share innovative ideas, and collaborate with partners on affordable housing opportunities and replicable models that strengthen our communities in Kentucky and across the nation. My name is Edwin King, and I'm the Executive Director of Kentucky Housing Corporation. Today's podcast features John Petz, who is an author, master storyteller, and performance expert who helps employees at all levels discover their performance mindset to be more productive, engaged, and purpose-driven. To give you more information about his diverse background, John was a former sales and marketing executive who led his teams to breakaway performances throughout different industries. John has also authored three books, two of which, Boring Meetings Suck and Significant and Simple Moments, have hit the business bestsellers list. His work has been featured by the Wall Street Journal, CNBC, ABC News, Success Magazine, among others, and the American City Business Journals named him a top 40 business professionals under the age of 40. Notably, his work as a professional comedy magician has taken him around the globe from London to New York, Las Vegas to Sydney. John will be one of the keynote speakers at our upcoming Kentucky Affordable Housing Conference in September. Well, John, I really appreciate you being my guest today, and welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. Thrilled to be here.
So, John, how did you get into the business of motivating people and helping others find their performance mindset?
Well, I got the background was a performer myself since a kid. You know, I was the person that saw my father do a trick with a penny. It vanished and it reappears. And, you know, you're always just fascinated, especially as a child, with that element of magic. So I started to get into the magic side as a child. I never really gave it up, much to my parents' delight. That's a sarcastic comment. It's like, go be a doctor. I'm like, I'm going to be a magician. No. And I kept doing that. But realistically, I went to college, was in the tech field, technology entrepreneur, and did a couple different startups and ended up in that, you know, the big corporate sales job and was doing a lot of sales training, sales inspiration, and added some entertainment aspects to it. And people enjoyed it. I had some other, you know, entities start to ask me to do some training for them. But then really I found out with the next job that I kind of lost some purpose for the corporate world. I enjoyed more so that training and inspiration element. And coincidentally, it was on June 30th, it was 15 years ago on June 30th that I kind of walked out of the corner office, company Mercedes, country club membership job that you think you always wanted to do what I'm doing now. So there's the long answer to your short question.
Yeah. Well, I know of course, in modern day America, meetings are a natural part of doing business. And you've written a book on the business bestseller list, Boring Meetings Suck, on how to conduct or what not to do to hold meetings. And you've been interviewed by several national magazines and major newspapers about meetings and hacks for productivity. Why are meetings so bad? And what are two important hacks we should begin doing with our next meeting?
Well, your first question was amazing because you asked why they're so bad, and that's an 8-day response. But then the two hacks I can give you real quick. Why are they so bad? Because people aren't properly prepared, both facilitator and the attendees. And I think so often we go into a meeting not truly what we want to come out the door with, those outcome statements, as I call them. Two hacks you asked for, I'll give you two different aspects. One of my favorite things, most commented thing in the book, it's called the pass the pad rule. You got people that show up late and they come in and they ask that one question. What's the question they come in? What do you think? The late comers, they say, what did I miss? And they're like, you know what? Let's just go back 10 minutes and waste everybody else's time. Pass the pad works like this. It's quite simply the last person in takes the notes. And the beautiful thing, that notepad can change hands. So if someone comes in after and says, what did I miss? Here it is. Read about it. We're moving on. So it's a great, quick, easy tip that people love to use. And it's playful too. You have people racing in the door at the last minute because they don't want to have it. Whoever ends up with a pad, they have to post it to their internal server, shared point, one, whatever you use to store your notes. The other hack I would say is a 30-second statement that'll really reduce the number of people in your meeting, because the more people in a meeting, the more exponentially difficult it is to get anything done. Many people have their agenda and they'll put the objective in there. Here's what the meeting's about. But so few people do an outcome statement. I want to know, as a result of spending this 28 minutes together, we're going to walk out the door with what? And I dare people to put that in their meeting invite. Because when someone reads that and they'll say, I don't know how I'm going to add value to this, then speak up, get yourself out of it, or offer any assistance that's relative to your level of expertise or your knowledge to that. But if it doesn't involve you, get out. Otherwise, it's the overinvitation syndrome. We got people, you know, inviting everyone because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. So hopefully two quick hacks that people can use immediately to make it better.
Very valuable. Very valuable. John, what are boring meeting cards?
Yes. I call those the SRD cards. The book throughout has real, like those two hacks, has quick tips. Hacks is a great word for them. SRD stands for suckification reduction devices. And honestly, it was a quick pack of cards. If you can't take a whole book into a meeting, these are SRDs and ideas you can have and use in your meeting right then. I think the very playful nature of it is on the back of every boring meeting card is a game. So if you're truly stuck in that meeting, here's something you can at least do to entertain yourself.
That's great. So John, on your blog, you talked about powerful strategies for transforming apathy into motivation, which is incredibly important in delivering any mission for any organization. You mentioned that only 13% of the world's population is fully interested and engaged in the work we do. So what strategies can we employ to increase engagement?
A wonderful question. And that the number you come up with, the 13%, I follow the Gallup organization, maybe like many other folks do as well. That's the number that they've come up with and put out there. And 13% of people being, there's that bell curve of people who are engaged in what they do and not. And it's a Gallup study they've done year over year, and it's fascinating to follow. And I recommend people follow their studies. That small part of the bell curve are people who are actively engaged and follow the purpose and are passionate about what they do. That bottom part of the very bottom part of the curve, the people that are toxic, and almost no matter what we do, they're going to fight against that boss, that person, because they want out. To me, that middle part, you know, which is that big part of the curve of people, they're doing just enough work to get by. Just enough to not get fired. So how can we really get those folks to truly see the value of what they do? And I think many times people know how to do something, but don't know the result, that true, you know, fast forward three people down the line of what that project touches and how can we help them better understand the result of their actions. And getting people to understand the purpose behind what they do, that's what will help drive the passion. But that purpose has to come before the passion. From job sharing in terms of having a salesperson go watch what the accounting team does or what they do in the warehouse when they ship an order, having them truly get involved in that entire process gets people more engaged in understanding those little simple moments, how significant they can be that we may otherwise just toss off. Like, this is mundane, this is meaningless, but it really can have so much power and impact. And then what's that going to do to their customer another step down the line? And how does that impact their business, their family, their community? So back to the key phrase of simply because we know how to do something, we may not know the value of what we do. So how can we truly find the purpose that drives the passion behind what we do? And that's going to be different and unique to each person. But if we drive that home, it can make a big difference in the productivity factor.
Yeah. And I know in some of your materials, you write about purpose must come before passion. And in our roles in affordable housing, that can be really challenging and difficult to meet critical housing needs. The question of why is one of the shortest questions in our language, yet it can be one of the most difficult ones to answer. And at Kentucky Housing Corporation, one of our business strategies for the new fiscal year is to serve with purpose, because focusing on that why in what we do helps create empathy to work with our mission of providing families with a safe place to call home.
Right.
John, how do you help organizations get to the heart of what they really do?
Sure. I love the question. In a live engagement, we'd go through someone in this in a live form. I think a lot of people will approach that and use the just word. Well, you know, I just work in the back office. I'm just filing the paperwork. And I love asking people when they come in the door, what do you do? And if you ask someone that, you know exactly where I'll probably go with this. I'm an agent. I'm an operations. I sit behind the desk and help people find the right place. I process paperwork. But when you start asking them to go deeper, now, what do you really do? As a result of you doing that, who does it impact? You know, it impacts families and kids. As a result of impacting family and kids, what can they do better? Well, they can live in a place that has no leaky windows. They can have a roof over their heads. They can actually have some place to call home. So you help people find a place to call home, don't you? And the moment you start helping them get to that really deeper moment of what they do, you see that light just go on. They're like, you know, I really do. But you have to help people go deep and go way beyond what they think they simply do. Did that answer your question?
Absolutely. That's great. That's great. So, John, I do want to mention something that is, I know, close to your heart that has a wonderful purpose. You have a foundation called Miracles and Magic Foundation. Can you please tell us about that and the wonderful mission it meets to help children who are fighting life-threatening illness?
I would love to share. It's certainly, this is my absolute passion project. The overall mission of the organization, and it began because of a chance meeting in a hospital, but it's the opportunity to help children in a life-threatened condition forget about chemo, forget about the shots and hospital beds, you know, literally for a few hours in a day. And instead of that, come out and enjoy the true magic, the laughter and the wonderment of grand illusion and magic. Toured professionally for many years as a magician, and through that, I've met many, some of the world's best. And thankfully, I can call them friends. And it's that annual opportunity where I get to call in some folks, and we bring in some of the best magicians of the world. And all these kids get to come free and bring their brothers or sisters. We even do a separate show. We sell tickets to the public and we donate all that money. So in the end, we want to help those in that condition truly feel like a kid again and experience that magic.
Wow. What a great mission. That's definitely impactful. So, John, thank you again for being on here with us today and talking a little bit about what you're going to be speaking a little bit about at the conference, but also sharing your inspiration and motivational information today here. We certainly look forward to having you at our annual conference here in just a few short weeks.
I can't wait to be there. We're going to have a total great time. It's going to be a mix of some mindset, some inward-looking inspiration, and it's going to be some great fun and laughs as well. Truly look forward to it.
Well, thanks again, John.
My pleasure.
To learn more about John Petz, to see his videos, and learn more about the Miracles and Magic Foundation, please visit www.johnpetz.com and www.miraclesandmagic.com. To our audience, please save the dates for this year's conference, which will be Thursday and Friday, September 12th and 13th at the Lexington Convention Center in Lexington, Kentucky. Session and registration information can be found on Kentucky Housing Corporation's website at www.kyhousing.org under News and Events and Conferences. Thank you for connecting with us today and listening to this podcast. You're welcome to join the conversation by leaving comments, and please share today's podcast in your social media streams to help us broaden our conversation. Also, we invite you to follow us on social media. Until next time, thank you.